Good morning. Good to be with you again, beloved. And I say amen to that. The love of Jesus is wonderful. Happy anniversary, Reidsville Bible Chapel. One of the highlights of my life, my ministry, is to be associated with this assembly. And I really mean that. I remember up at the Y as well. And I remember moving into this building, dedication. I was here. I spoke here that day. So very fond memories of this testimony, and I trust that if the Lord be not come, there will be many, many more years of fruitful service in this vineyard, or this part of the vineyard. We're going to read two portions together this morning, beloved. First of all, we're going to read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the boat. Now when he had ceased speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed the great multitude of fish, and their net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners who were in the other boat, that they would come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats with, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fish which they had taken. And so were also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Matthew chapter 4. Verse 18, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the boat and their father and followed him. If you were following the reading, beloved, you know that we are going fishing. I don't know about you, but I love to go fishing. Sometimes I'm like Peter and the other disciples, toiling all night and catching nothing. But I still love to go fishing. For me, the big one always gets away. It always gets away from me. But when you're fishing as a hobby, it's okay to toil and catch nothing. That's fine. But when you're fishing for a living, when you're fishing as an occupation, it is important that you catch fish. Because that's your living, that's your livelihood. Now, these disciples, early disciples, they were already disciples. This is a call to service. They were called to discipleship in John chapter 1. This is a call to service. And they were involved in three important exercises as they relate to a fisherman. The portion we read, first of all, in Luke chapter 5, they were washing their nets. Then we come over to Matthew's gospel, and we find that they were mending their nets, and then they were casting their nets. And you and I, beloved, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we pay attention to the art of fishing, we can learn a lot of lessons because Jesus took that exercise, he took that profession, and he related it to the responsibilities of his disciples. And he told them that from henceforth, their occupation would be to catch men, fishing for men. And the art of fishing for men is what he said to Peter, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, I am from an island, and a lot of folks on the island fish for a living. I remember as a boy growing up and going to the beach, and the men were casting their nets. And as they begin to pull it in, we call it a seine. And they would pull in the seine, and the fish would be in there, and they would be jumping all over. And men would be scrambling to keep them in the net. But you know, when you cast that net, you bring up other things beside the fish. You bring up a lot of rubble from the bottom of the sea. You bring up a lot of garbage, a lot of weeds. And what you do, you separate the fish from the weeds. But they cannot just cast that net right after that. First of all, they must wash their nets. And this is what they were doing there in Luke chapter 5. He saw these men, and they were washing their nets. And you and I, beloved, as the people of God, we can learn a very important lesson from this. For this speaks to us of sanctification. It speaks to us of confession and making things right with God. We need to be set apart for God. We need to be washed. For the psalmist says, "For wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." In order for us, beloved, and before we can successfully cast our nets, we must first wash our nets. We mentioned this morning that that was the exercise of the high priest and the before he can enter into the Holy of Holies. First, he had to come to the brazen altar, and there he must offer his sacrifice. By then he's all bloodied, and he must go to the next step before he can enter, and he must stop at the laver of brass, and he must wash his face. And there is a difference, a very important difference, between the washing of the hands and the washing of the face and the cleansing that we receive at the altar. And we have that demonstrated to us in John chapter 13, where the Lord Jesus took a towel and girded himself. And he began to wash the disciples' feet. And when he got to Peter, one of these men, Peter said, "Dost thou wash my feet?" And Jesus said, What I do, thou knowest not now." Peter said, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus said to him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Beloved, the Lord will forgive the sins of his people, but he will not have fellowship with a dirty saint, with a saint with unconfessed sins. We have no fellowship with him. And so he said to Peter, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part, not in me, but with me." That's fellowship. And Peter got excited. He said, "Lord, not only my feet, but my hands and my head." And Jesus said, "He that is washed," and that's a different word, "he that is bathed needeth not except to wash his feet." Beloved, we need to wash before we worship. As it was in the Aaronic priesthood, they had to wash before they can go in and worship. You and I, beloved, we must wash before we worship. Peter, it is not necessary to bathe all over again. What he's saying, which applies to us, beloved, it is not necessary for us to get saved over and over again. He that is washed, he that is redeemed, he that is cleansed, needeth not except to wash his feet. Yes, we get contaminated while we're here. And in order for us to worship in the Holy of Holies, we need to have our feet washed. We need to be washed. We need to be made clean. We need to confess. For if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As far as our standing is concerned, beloved, as far as our standing in Christ, we are redeemed once and for all. We stand complete before God. We stand perfect before God. That's our position. But conditionally, our lifestyle, our conduct, we need that daily cleansing. So Peter, no, you don't need to be washed all over again. All you need is to wash your feet. And beloved, you and I on a daily basis, we need to wash our feet. We are going to be walking in contaminated areas. We're going to be walking in places that are so sinful. We're going to be seeing things. We're going to be tempted on a daily basis before we can come and worship, before we can have fellowship with the Lord. We must wash our feet. In order for these disciples to be able to cast their nets again, after they had taken out the fish, they had to wash their nets. You wash before you worship. Ephesians in chapter 5, it says, therefore, verse 24, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it. That's the washing. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Peter, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. There is no fellowship with a believer with unconfessed sins. No fellowship. No part with Christ. Yes, we might go through the exercise. We might go through the exercise of preaching and praying and all sorts of things, but that's an exercise in futility. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Beloved, let us get our nets ready. Let us wash our nets. Paul, writing in Romans, says that we need to walk worthy of the name of the Lord. We ought to walk in fellowship with him, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Don't let sin rule. Don't let sin get the upper hand of you, beloved. We need to keep in touch, in close fellowship with the Lord. As the apostle said in 1 Corinthians, he says, I keep under my body. And that's what gives us the most trouble. This body in which we live, I keep on under my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself become a castaway. I myself be disapproved. Disapproved. So you see the importance of washing the nets. And he so passionately writing in Romans chapter 12, he says, brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We must wash our nets. We must be sanctified. We must be cleansed. The psalmist David, and you know his failures, you know about his great sin. But in that penitent psalm that he penned, Psalm 51, he said these words, wash me thoroughly. from my iniquities and cleanse me from all my sin. It's necessary because in another psalm it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Pray all you want, but first there is confession, there is cleansing, there's washing, there's the sanctification of the believer. The next exercise they were involved in, and I'm not going to take it in the order it's written here, but they were mending. They were mending their nets. Matthew 4 and 21, and going on from there, he saw two of the brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John the brother, his brother, in a boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. I'm sure you heard about the barracuda, right? Every once in a while, when the fishermen, I'm talking about down the islands now, when they cast their nets and they would bring in quite a few fish, but you know that barracuda, he has sharp teeth, and he would go through that seine like nothing. And a lot of fish would get away. And they would only bring up like half of what they caught because they caught a barracuda and he nipped his way through and he left gaping holes in the net and the smaller fishes would swim away. So it is important for these fishermen, these experienced fishermen, that after they had cast their nets, the next day, it wasn't ready to be cast again until not only did they wash their nets, but they had to mend their nets. They had to stop those big gaping holes. And I've seen them do that. I would be walking and going on my way to school, and I would see them, and they're like, they were knitting. They were stopping those big holes. They were sewing up the nets, because if they cast that net with those gaping holes, they won't be able to catch not too many fish anyway. So these disciples, these experienced fishermen, they were now mending their nets. They were stopping the holes. They were sewing up those holes. They were repairing, as it were, the damage. And that's an important lesson for us as well. Because in the assemblies, in the church of Jesus Christ, there are things we call, the Bible calls, division and schisms. And these things hinder the work of the Lord. These things hinder us from carrying out the Lord's instructions because, well, I am not talking to him, and he's not talking to me, and I am in this clique over here, and they're in that clique over there, and there's schism in the church, and we cannot go on. We have to mend our nets. We have to get rid of the rip and the rift. The psalmist in Psalm 133, that's a well-known psalm. He says how good and how pleasant it is for brethren, to dwell together in unity. We are not accomplishing the will of God. We are not carrying on the purpose of God. If we are going in different directions, we must have a unity of purpose. We must be together with the same goal, speaking the same thing, minding the same thing. It is an exercise in futility to cast nets with gaping holes. If at all, if you think you're going to catch fish, you won't catch any. And if we're not unified in our purpose, if we don't have a united front as we proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we go out and face a hostile world, then we are wasting our time. Let us, beloved, mend our nets. Paul was conscious of that, the problem, especially among those Corinthians. It seemed that the Corinthians gave him more trouble than anybody else. The Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And he's confronting this problem. He says, we can't go on. There's no use. He says, now I beseech you, verse 10. Brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing. You see how important it is? When someone comes to the fellowship, they must agree with the doctrine. They must agree with the teaching. Because if you don't believe it, then yeah, you belong someplace else. Don't come and try to change the doctrine, especially the New Testament teaching. If you don't like it, you can go someplace else. We have to speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Trouble was brewing in the Corinthian church. It hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them who are of the household of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you who saith, I am of Paul. That's happening today. That's happening today. I have seen it, beloved. I've seen it. Men are dividing the assemblies because they don't like the way the assembly dealt with a certain brother, and they are following him wherever he goes, and they are not concerned about the fellowship. They're divided over a person. Paul is going to address that. If you think there's someone worth following, listen to the reasoning of Paul through the Spirit. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, or I am Cephas, or I am of Christ. Answer, question, you answer it. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were ye baptized in the name of Paul? If you answer yes to any of these questions, you have a problem. Because it is about Christ, beloved. It's not about me. It's not about my leader. It's not about my favorite preacher. It is about Christ. And let us be united on that fact. Let us bend our nets. Because factions are not helping the work of the Lord. It might make you popular, and you might cater to people. You might speak the things they want you to speak, and you might please them. You don't want to offend anybody. And when you get out of line, those people you've been catering to, those people you've been, I don't want to use that word, you're getting, trying to get close to. It was not a good word. You're going to follow them. Paul said, I don't want you to follow me. I don't want you to follow Apollos. I want you to follow Cephas. The only person worth following is the one who died for you, the one in whose name you have been baptized. The only one who can bring unity is Christ. Christ is not divided. Therefore, let us mend our nets. He writes to the Ephesians in chapter 4, and he says, you and I, the saints in this church, let us endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We are not making unity. We are keeping that unity. That unity has been made. the Lord Jesus Christ has brought us together with a common salvation and a common faith. It's up to us, you and I, to keep it. To keep it not because someone holds a gun to our heads, but to keep it in the bond of peace. Because it is He who has made peace for us through the blood of His cross. Philippians 1, he writes as well concerning mending the nets. Philippians chapter 1, he writes a very important message there. And his word, beloved, is that we are to strive not against each other. We are to strive together. Strive together for the faith of the gospel. He saw the disciples, and they were mending the nets. Are there any holes here, beloved? Are there any open windows? Then let us today, this is a good day, let us mend our nets. Let us make the necessary repairs. Let us set it right. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. It's important. Unity is not just a word that we pick up and say it's good if we can practice it. It is taught in the New Testament. Let us mend our nets. I think it's 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. I think it is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 13. Speaking of the elders, those who labor in the word and admonish us, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Be at peace among yourselves. Let us mend our nets. Abraham, that great man of God, we always look at him as that man of faith. But you know, he was a man of wisdom as well. He was a man of peace as well. And so when the time came that his flock was spreading, and so was Lot's, and they had more flock than they had land, and then there was strife. Strife between the herdsmen of Abraham and strife between the herdsmen of Lot. They were fighting for space. They were fighting for grazing space. I don't know if Lot didn't mind. But Abraham went to Lot and he says, let there be no strife between me and thee. Between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, let there be no strife. Why? Because we are related. Because we are brethren. We are brethren. Let us mend our nets. Let us find a solution. You have the option. Look at the whole field. You make a choice. And whatever is left, I will take. That's a man of principle. That's a man who believed that God had the last word, that it was God's purpose for them to be unified. If you go that way, I'll go the other way. But let them in our strife, because we are brethren. And we know what Lot did. He went to Sodom. Sad. Because all he was concerned about was the well-watered plains. He went down there for advantage. But he lost it all. Let there be no strife. Don't divide the assembly because you don't like the way the brethren do this and they do that. Don't divide the assembly because you don't like the way the brethren dealt with your friend, your favorite preacher. Let us mend our nets. Let's make the necessary repairs. And let us have a unified purpose. Let us have a unified voice. I'm not talking about uniformity. I'm talking about unity, and there is a difference. Then, excuse me, having washed our nets, there's nothing between us and God. We have confessed all our sins. We are clean. We are ready. Having mended our nets, beloved, there are no gaping holes. Now we are ready to go forth. Now we are ready to cast our nets. And if washing our nets speaks of our sanctification, and mending our nets speaks of our unity, then casting our nets speaks of our purpose in evangelism, in reaching others. We have to cast the net. And beloved, we seem to be sitting on the shore. We seem to be sitting on the nets because, you know, sometimes these men are just sitting on the net and they're going around and around and around. They're looking where they can be successful. They want to cast the net where the fish are out there. And so they row and row around until they get to a good place. And then you see them throwing the nets out. Now, the disciples are not only mending their nets and washing their nets, but they were casting the nets. And if they had cast a dirty net or a net full of gaping holes, and time again, it would not be one time, but they would say to the master, "We have toiled all night and have caught nothing." And it seems that sometimes we are involved or engaged in service, no fruit, nothing to show, because the nets are not clean, the nets are not mended. Peter, he was involved in mending and washing and casting. The Lord said to Peter, "The lesson I'm teaching you is to equip you and to make you ready to catch men." To catch men. Is it any wonder then? Is it any wonder that he was the one chosen to stand on the day of Pentecost and to face those who formerly he was afraid of? Remember? He was afraid of them. He said, "I don't even know the Lord." Now on the day of Pentecost, not filled with himself now, but filled with the blessed Holy Spirit, now he is casting the greatest net of all. He stood and he faced the Sanhedrin and he told them to their face. He said, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." He says, "You have taken him, and by wicked hands you have crucified the Lord of life and glory." The net's out there. The net is cast, beloved. Many were pricked to their hearts. They couldn't resist in this net. It is clean. It is sound. And on that one day, the Lord added to the church 3,000 souls. That's a good catch, wouldn't you say? Because he was casting his net in accordance to the instructions, in accordance to the lesson that the Lord had taught. Casting the net. 3,000 souls. It's like the time when the Lord says, cast the net on the other side. And when they started bringing the fish, the net broke. Here he was casting the net in the fullness of the Spirit of God. 3,000 souls. And that wasn't all. The Lord added to the church daily. Daily. Those that would be saved. Paul, he was another good fisherman. Oh, he recognized the right parameters of the fishing field. He understood. And his message, I don't want to call it bait, but his food for the fish was the same as Peter's. Peter said, the Lord hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. The Lord has raised him from the dead. That was the message of Pentecost. It was Jesus and the resurrection. When Paul went to Mars Hill, the message was the same. The Epicureans and the Stoics, those people spent all their time in nothing else but hearing something new. They were not concerned about truth. They were concerned about something new every day. When Paul arrived, he says, I wonder what this babbler is going to say. They called him a babbler because they said he seemed to be a set forth of strange gods. Why? Because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. I don't know what you're baiting up with, beloved. I don't know what you're putting on your hook, but if it's not Jesus and the resurrection, you got the wrong bait. You got the wrong food. So he went to Mars Hill and he preached that message. The same message that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Times of this ignorance after he outlined what they were doing. Times of this ignorance God overlooked. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, concerning which he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. That's what you need to put in your net. That's what you need to put on your hook. Jesus and the resurrection. There were three responses to that message on Mars Hill. When they heard the message, some mocked. And the mocking will continue. That's the devil. That's the flesh. The mocking will continue. Some procrastinated. Some say, we'll hear you again on this matter at a later date. They put it off, and some will still do that today. We have time. But the third response was, some believed. Some believed. We're not going to win the whole world, beloved. But we're going to go after those who would listen to the word and would believe the gospel. Because faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. We got three things before us. We need to wash the nets, beloved. Keep them clean. Keep them clean. Be clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Keep them whole. Keep out the friction. Keep out the big holes that would rip the testimony apart. Wherever there's a hole, let us mend it. Let us make the necessary repair. And let us cast the nets. Why? Because Jesus said to Peter, from henceforth, thou shalt catch men. That's our business. We're going to talk about that. a little later. Let me give you a little foretaste. They tell me I have a brief time after. So we're going to make it as brief as possible. But in these portions, beloved, the four things that are outlined here, which I want us to look for the future. It's our mission, our methods, our motives, and then the multitudes. It's all in these that we've read together, these two portions. And we're going to look at that very briefly as we can. God bless his word and encourage the hearts of his people. Father, we thank thee for bringing us together today. We thank thee that thou hast given us the privilege of remembering our Lord Jesus Christ in the breaking of bread and drinking of the cup, proclaiming his death until he comes. We thank thee for giving us the opportunity again to open thy word. We pray that thou wouldst bless thy word to our hearts, that each one of us would examine ourselves and see if our nets are clean, washed and clean, our nets are mended, and that we are casting the net on the other side. We give thee thanks as we ask thy blessing, imparting our Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.